The Broncos are back from the bye week, rested and ready to go.
We got an extra week to get on this ankle, you know, so I got me a lot of extra treatment in. It was like well needed.
Up next, a battle of the unbeatens as the 6-0 Green Bay Packers come to town.
At the end of the day, it'll come down to what defense plays the best. You know, you have two great quarterbacks, you know, that put up a lot of points.
The game has extra meaning as owner Pat Bowlen will be inducted into the Ring of Fame.
Our conversations were always about Notre Dame and sometimes about his boots because he always wore some cowboy boots. So
get ready. 3 and Out starts right now.
Man, it's going to be like the main event.
Hello and thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out. I'm Phil Milani. There are 5 6-0 teams in the NFL for the first time ever. Two of them will square off this Sunday with the Broncos and Packers. So let's get things started with first down. Time for first down, and now I'm joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, on Monday, everybody on the team was out on the practice field except Shane Ray. How much do you think that the bye week helped everybody?
I think it was massive, quite frankly, when you look at where the Broncos were going into it. They were banged up. Of course, Ray had been hurt, but they'd lost Emmanuel Sanders late in the Browns game to a shoulder injury. DeMarcus Ware didn't play that game at all. And you had other guys like Evan Mathis, who hadn't practiced since October 9th because of the hamstring injury, but he played in two games since then. Really, you always want the bye to come at a fortuitous point, but this may have been the best possible moment for the Broncos to get that week off, to get healthy. And obviously, Shane Ray is going to be a few weeks because he has the MCL injury. That's usually a 3 to 6 week injury from the time he suffered it. So, you know, don't expect him back this week, but having the other guys back, huge.
Yeah, definitely. And head coach Gary Kubiak said that Tyson Brailo will be the starter if he's fully healthy.
You know, this will be probably the first week in about a month that we actually start the week with them all in place, you know, where we're going. Evan looks good coming off the break. That was important. Lou looks better coming off the break, so hopefully we'll get a full week out of all of them.
We've been playing some very physical games this first 6 weeks, and, you know, the guys who were hurt took care of business during the break, and you know we were able to come out mostly healthy.
Time for second down now, and the guys are coming back healthy just at the right time as the schedule gets a lot tougher, at least on paper, starting with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers, who've had an effective passing offense even without Devontae Adams, who was an offseason standout, but they're expecting him back this week. Interesting stat. If you look at the league rankings, you'd see that the Packers are 22nd in passing offense. You'd be like, what the heck? Well, that's because it's per game, and I don't use the per game stat. I like the per play stat. They're third in the league, and Aaron Rodgers, I believe, second in the league in quarterback rating. So, you know, they're not getting as many opportunities, perhaps, as usual because they're trying to get some balance on offense, but certainly they're making the most of the chances that they do pass, and Aaron Rodgers has shredded one defense after another this year.
Oh, yeah. If you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's heading into his 11th season. His passer rating of 106.5, number one all time. And this season, 15 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions.
Excellent quarterback, man. Quick release, man. He gets all his guys involved. He get the D-line, he get the O-line involved, you know, with snap count and things like that, so... He's a great quarterback, man. He's doing everything right.
Extremely accurate. I'll just say that. He's extremely accurate. He's mobile. He's more mobile than you think. You know, the guy can scramble. He can get around and get away from sacks and everything like that. So, you know, we got a tough challenge on our hands.
Especially when he get outside the pocket, man, he's able to make things happen with his feet as well as his arm. So, with those two things, he's very dangerous.
Any mobile quarterback is a dangerous weapon, let alone one who can put the ball right on the money. You know, so... It's like a double threat, but he's not invincible. I think that if you get people in his face and you do get people around him and you do have sacks on him, get some tackle for losses, you know, and then also some sacks, put you in a good third down positions, I think it'll be all right.
It's time for third down now, and I'm joined by Ben Swanson. And this is a very special week around Denver, not only because the Packers are coming into town, but also the 1997 Super Bowl championship team will be here. And that's because they're here to honor owner Pat Bowlen, who will be inducted into the Ring of Fame this Sunday.
Right. I mean, it's a big week for Pat Bowlen and the Bowlen family and for the organization as a whole. I mean, the Ring of Fame was created by Mr. Bowlen, or Mr. B, as we call him here. And really, it all comes back to him. His leadership has paved the way for this organization's success a historic level across all Big Four sports organizations, franchises. Only the Spurs and the Lakers have done better since he bought the Broncos back in 1984. So, I mean, a lot of history there, and the methodology that the Broncos have and everything they do goes back to the way that he's kind of blazed the trail.
Yeah, he's certainly set a standard. Six Super Bowl appearances since 1984 when he bought the team, only five losing seasons. That is incredible. He also has the most regular season wins, 307, in the NFL since the time he bought the team in 1984.
I'm very proud to be a part of it. You know, it's awesome to be here and watch that happen, and, you know, been deserving for a long, long time. So it'll be a special day for him and his family and for this organization.
He's done a great job as an owner. He's provided us, I say, one of the best organizations in the NFL. So, you know, with him going in the Ring of Fame, it's, you know, we want to win one for him.
He brought me here and had trusted me for 7 years thus far. So I'm very appreciative of the opportunities that he has given me along with the coaching staff. So I know I'm going to give it all I have, not just for my teammates, but also for Mr. B.
It's fourth down, so let's punt things over to our social media department and Scott Ward.
Oh, hello. Welcome to the Broncos social media department. Fan questions, or as Antonio Smith said, the main event. Dino at DeluxeRN wants to know, where do you see Coach Kubiak taking the O-line from here? Do you foresee them settling in as a group, barring no more injuries?
Yes, barring injuries, I think this is going to be a core group, certainly for the rest of the year. That being said, could see the Broncos make a trade. I think they're going to be active in seeking some positions, maybe O-line, maybe tight end, maybe running back on the trade market before the deadline on November 8th. But if they can't do that, I think this is the group you're going to see going forward. Now, for future years, I think you'll see Max Garcia and Michael Schofield factor into the mix, and certainly if there are injuries, I think you'll see them again. But for now, I think getting Sim Bravo back at left tackle and then Ryan Harris back at right tackle, this is the group you're going to see for the rest of the year if everyone stays healthy.
All right, great answer, Mace, as usual. Next question, it's for you, Swanee, comes from Blazin Hall, and he is at Blazin Hall. How long will it take for the average NFL fan to realize how good Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan are playing? And then Blazin uses the hashtag unsung heroes, which is also what we use for Ben Swanson.
Well, thanks for the question. I think it kind of comes down to that they're being overshadowed. I mean, when your secondary is playing as well and getting as many turnovers as they are, and then with the pass rush, as many sacks as they're getting, a lot of what they do in the middle goes unnoticed. However, the rushing defense is playing as well as it did last year when it kind of burst onto the scene as one of the league leaders. And they make a lot of those play calls in the middle. They don't get a whole lot of sacks, but I mean, Brandon Marshall had that forced fumble that led to the game-winning score against Kansas City. A lot of what they do shape how this defense is playing. But I think as the season goes on, this defense is, I mean, as we know, it's pretty complete. So as more and more games go on, I think people will start to pick up on how well they've been playing.
Great answer, Swanee. Back to you, Phil. But first, Alex Grenier wants to know, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for this week's Three and Out. Special thanks to Andrew Mason and Ben Swanson, and also Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been Three and Out.